To love and to be loved is life's greatest gift. And I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And if you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. We have a message handout for anybody who needs one. John 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's the fourth book of the New Testament, John 15. Love is divine. Love is from God. Listen, nobody knows more about love than God Almighty. He is the originator. He is the author. Love was God's idea. Look at 1 John 4, verse 8 in your handout, and let's all say that verse together. Are you ready? Let's read. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Say that last part again, for God is love. This is Valentine's Day, and I thought, man, what an opportunity to speak on this subject of love. Jesus Christ spoke a lot about love. In fact, Jesus Christ came to this earth and was a living demonstration of divine love. Look in your handout again at 1 John 4, verse number 9. Notice it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. His love was openly declared. How? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might what, church? Live through Him. Are you glad that we can live today? Amen? He came to reveal to us what true love is in a way that we can grasp and that we can understand. And as we read the Apostle Paul's writings to us, the church, We read it and we kind of get this idea from Paul that since Jesus Christ has fully demonstrated His love to us, and because His Spirit now lives in us as believers, we can love others as Christ has loved us. We can love in a divine way because we know Jesus. I want you to look and notice how this is the idea of Scripture. Look in your handout at Romans 5, verse number 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look at Ephesians 5, 2, right below that. It says, and walk in love. Say that with me. And walk in love. Well, how though? How do I know how to walk in love? Look what it says, as Christ also hath loved us. How about Ephesians 5:25, where the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church and gave Himself for it. So the idea is, because of His love to me, now I can love in a divine way. I can love other people. Look at this verse on the screen, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Look at the next one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, He says, you need not that I even write unto you, for ye yourselves are, what's the next three words? Taught of God. We are taught of God to love one another. Look up at the screen again and notice, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. Again, the idea is because of His love, now I can love. Look back with me one page probably to John 13. Go back to chapter 13, all right? And look at verse number 34. And I want to read this before we get into our text in John 15. John 13, 34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. In John 15, if you'll turn over there, in verses 9 through 14, love is mentioned 8 times in 6 verses. Jesus is speaking very personally here with His disciples. He's got His closest comrades. He's got His inner core group. And Jesus Christ is talking to them, and He mentions love 8 times to them in 6 verses. verses. Let's read it. Look at verse number 9 and notice that Jesus is speaking and he says, hey, listen, guys, he's talking to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, there it is again, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is so much that we can learn here from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think as we read this, the prevailing thought that I get is that every single believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer today, every believer can love as Christ loves. Do you believe that? Say amen, huh? Can we love as he loves? Yeah, he told us to, right? He wouldn't ask us to do something we couldn't do. He said, I want you to love as I love you. We can love as Christ loves. He makes that very, very clear. We all have that capability if we're saved and we know Christ, that we can love as he loves. But how can we love in such a divine way? This morning, I'm going to give you one simple thought, one principle from this passage, and then next week, I'm going to come back and give you two more, but this one is so foundational, and it's so important that I just want to spend the rest of the morning on this one thing, and here it is. You ready? Number one, Christ teaches us that love needs daily maintenance. Love needs daily maintenance. Every time I see that word maintenance, it kind of reminds me of a saying I heard. How many of you have ever heard, man, we got a marriage made in heaven? You ever heard that? Anybody in here who would say, I got a marriage made in heaven? Anybody? Hey, all right, all right. Got a few brave ones out there. How about this? This is a saying I heard. A marriage may be made in heaven, but the maintenance has to be done on earth. Now, can I get some amens to that? Yeah, a marriage may be made in heaven, but the maintenance has to be done on earth. I think about that when I see that word maintenance, you know. And, you know, I heard a story of a couple that had been married 60 years. Anybody in here been married 60 years? Anybody? Right over here? How long? 67. Amen. Bless your hearts. That's awesome. That's good. Good stuff. I talked to Art and Elva Jean Valentine. Many of you know them. They're faithful members of our church, but they're kind of housebound now. I went by to see them this week. They said, yeah, we've been married 69 years. That's probably longer than most of us in here have been alive. And they've been married that long. 69 years. And I heard a story about a couple that had been married 60 years. And when they, you know, they just had shared life together, they had, you know, just talked about everything, they didn't keep secrets from each other, but there was one exception, and that was the lady, when they got married, had a shoebox, and she put it up in the closet, and she warned her husband, she said, don't mess with the shoebox, she said, don't open it, don't look in it, and don't ever ask me about it. He's like, okay, you know, so he didn't really give it much thought, it, you know, lived in the closet, and he didn't really think about it. Well, she got real sick, and the doctor said she's probably not going to recover. And so he was trying to put their affairs in order, and he saw the shoebox, and boom, he thought, what should I do? And so he grabbed the shoebox, and he went to her bedside. And the little old lady sat up, and she kind of nodded her head like, yep, it's time to tell you about the shoebox. And so he opened up the shoebox, and he found two beautiful, beautifully crocheted dolls that she had made. They were beautiful. And also in the box was $25,000. And so his mouth was stunned, right? I mean, and so he's like, what's up? What is this? She said, well, let me tell you. She said, when we were about to be married, my grandmother gave me some advice about marriage, and I never forgot it. She told me, whenever I got mad and angry with you and was tempted to lose my temper, lash out, and say things I would regret later, to keep my mouth shut and go into another room and crochet a doll. Well, when she said that, he began to get teary-eyed. And he was so touched. There were only two dolls in the box. And he thought, man, in 60 years, I've only made you mad two times. And he was just so, his heart was bursting with happiness. And he said, honey, that's wonderful. That explains the dolls. But what about all this money? Where did it come from? And the little old lady said, oh, she said, that's the money that I made selling all the dolls. Their love needed some daily maintenance, amen? Right? He didn't think it did, but it did. She'd sold $25,000 worth of them dolls, amen? Oh, mercy. I want you to look at verse 9, and I want you to see what Jesus said. Same principle, concept. He says in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Remember, he's talking to his friends. And he says, continue ye in my love. Now, the word continue means to stay in a given place, to stay in a given relation, a given place, a given state. In other words, I'll give you an example. If Denise and I, if we told our kids, hey, we want you to continue in the house while we're gone. What does that mean? Well, that simply means we want you to stay there, right? We don't want you to leave. Continue in the house while we're gone. In the same way, he said, continue in my love. I want you to stay in relation to that. I want you to stay and remain in that. The issue here is not that Christ was going to stop loving them. No, we know that because this was something they were to do. This is something they were in control of. He said, look, you guys continue in my love. So this was something in their control, something for them to do. So this wasn't an issue that Christ was going to stop loving them. The issue also was not, hey guys, continue to love me. That's not what the verse says. He said, continue ye in my love. The issue wasn't them loving him. It was them continuing in his love. So it was not, it wasn't an issue that they were in danger of losing his love. We know Christ's love is constant. It was not that they were being asked to love Jesus more. No, he said, continue ye, all of you, in my love. Here was the issue. And I want you to write this in your handout. The issue was that they might no longer continue to abide and bask in his love and then in turn be able to manifest that to other people. Look at verse number 12. Notice how we get this idea of verse 12. He said, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Church, listen. The danger was in them not appreciating Christ's love, them not living in the reality of his love, not receiving it, not allowing it to work in their hearts. It's like a married couple. Say a couple is married and she just loves her husband with all of her heart and soul. She just loves him so much. Then he ups and he leaves her for another woman. What's the problem there? He did not abide in her love. He did not appreciate her love. He did not value her love for him. Now you see what he meant when he told his disciples, you abide in my love. What does that teach us? It teaches us that love is something that must receive daily, ongoing attention. Love has to be maintained, or it won't be properly understood. Married couples, you have to continue in each other's love, daily giving and receiving that love from each other. And I'm going to tell you a big, big part of this is you personally growing in your understanding of God's love for you. In verse number 9, notice he said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Notice, church, that Christ basked in the Father's love. He valued the Father's love. He got it. He understood it. He comprehended it. He understood the Father's love for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm abiding in his love, therefore I'm able to love you. And now I want you to abide in my love so you can go out and love others the way I have loved you. In your handout, it says, Christ basked in the Father's love. Well, what happened? Christ was then able to share that love with his disciples. And that's the idea. Christ says, I'm abiding in the Father's love for me, so I've loved you that way. Now, you abide in my love, and you go out, and you love that way. This is such an issue because I'm going to tell you right now, some of you have built up walls. Like that video we watched, some of you have built up walls. And you cannot love at a deep level. And there are many people that because they were abused, because they've been used, because they have been through broken relationships, they've been hurt. They find it very difficult to love. They find it very difficult to love in a deep, meaningful way. And this is such an important thing because you abide in His love. In other words, you value, appreciate, understand Christ's love for you. And as you begin to understand His love for you, that's going to enable you to love like He loves. Very important. The Apostle Paul taught the same thing to the church. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the right several books to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3, and let me show you what Paul wrote to the church. You see, and this is what I want you to see this morning, as you grow in Christ's love, as you abide in that love, you are going to have I guarantee you, as you grow in His love, as you come to understand it, you're going to have a greater capacity to truly love other people. That's what Paul taught the church. Look at Ephesians 3 real quick, and Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verse number 17. All right, if you're not there and you just want to listen, that's fine. But Ephesians 3:17, listen to this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. He says, I want you to understand there's something deep going on here. There's something wide. Like we sung earlier, God's love is deep. It's wide. And he says, I want you to see this. Why? Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. To know it. That means to comprehend it, to understand it. You really get it. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You can never fully. It's so deep that you can keep researching and you can keep on growing in it. It passes knowledge that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Listen, some of you in here today think, I can never love like Christ loved. I've been hurt too much. I'm not doing that again. I'm not going there again. I could never love like Christ loved. I could never open up my heart to truly love and be loved. I want you to know something right now, and I'm telling you this, not just on my word. I'm telling you based on that word right there, what God said, and I'm taking it in context, is that God can do in you exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. God can do something in your marriage. God can do something with that broken relationship. God can do something in your life so unbelievable. He said that you wouldn't even be able to ask or think about it. It's so amazing what God can do in your life. In regards to this, and in context, he's talking about the issue of love. Paul did not want these people to have a puppy love understanding of Christ's love. He says, no, I want you to have a divine, deep understanding and comprehension and appreciation of the love of Christ. You say, Pastor Dan, how do I get that? How do I truly get rooted and understand His love for me? There's no shortcuts. I'm telling you, there's only one way to get rooted and grounded in His love. It's got to be spiritually revealed to you through His Word. You read God's Word. That's God's love letter to you. You accept it by faith. And when that happens, you are strengthened with spiritual might and power in your inner man, in your spirit. Look at verse 16 in the same chapter, verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. That's in your inner spirit. That's the inner part of you. That means, listen, that means that you are able to love at a deeper level than you have ever imagined in your life. And the result of this, let me tell you the result. When you begin to get in that book, when you begin to get serious about your relationship with God, and you begin to grow in that understanding of His love for you, that unconditional, deep, abiding love that He has for your soul. And I know, again, people have problems with that. They're like, I don't know how God can love me. Why? Because Satan brings up your past, and he brings back your failures, and he brings back all the hurts, and he brings up all the things from your past. And you say, no, I just don't know that God could ever love me. I'm not lovable. And I want you to know on the authority of God's Word that God loves you with a deep, abiding love that passes all understanding. And you know what happens when you begin to get that? Verse 19. Look at it. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then here's what happens. When you begin to understand His love, He says, you are filled with all the fullness of who? Of God. Do y'all believe that? Say amen. Do you know what filled and fullness means? When He says you're filled with the fullness, He's really using the same root word twice. And filled and fullness carry the idea of replete and running over. He says God literally begins running over in your life. He begins running over in your life. To kind of give you an illustration, first time I ever used a Keurig machine, one of those things that makes one cup at a time. I don't have one, but I used one time. And I put my little cup in there, and they said, push it down. So I pushed it down. I had a little 8-ounce styrofoam cup. I put it under there. Nothing was happening. They said, oh, you got to push the little cup button on the side. Well, there were 3 cup buttons. And there was a little cup, a medium cup, and a big cup. I thought, well, I'm thirsty. I want a big cup. So I hit a big cup. And I had a little 8-ounce styrofoam cup. Let me tell you, I had coffee in abundance. It was running over. My cup runs over, right? I had my cup just running over. I'm like, grab another cup. You know. I had an 8-ounce cup, and I think it pushed out, 14 ounces of water, That doesn't work too good. It was replete. It was running over. That's the idea of those words, filled and fullness. The idea is that as you grow in His love, that love begins to run over and out of you in abundance. I want you to picture just for a moment the love of God just flowing out of you freely to your spouse. The love of God flowing out of you to your kids. The love of God just replete. It's running over. You're filled with the fullness of God. It's just running over in your life towards friends, fellow church members in the body of Christ. You're filled with the fullness of God. Imagine a married couple, a husband and a wife. And I want you to imagine with me for a moment that the husband and the wife, Christ's love is just running over in both of their lives. Do y'all think that that would be a good marriage? If Christ's love is running over in both of their lives, I'd say that'd make a really good marriage. What's the point? And this is such a key statement. It's in your handout. And this is a key statement. And I want you to get this. Church, listen. It says there is no way that Christ's love can be shared through you until you understand Christ's love for you. I'm telling you, you're never going to love at a deeper level like God created you to love until you begin to understand the love of Christ for you. Once you understand His love for you, and again, that comes right here. It's not magical, it's not mystical, it's not a feeling. It's right here. You begin to grow in your understanding of His love for you. Now you have a basis to be able to share His love. Now do you see why Christ said to His friends, hey guys, continue in My love. Love for another person can be diminished if it's not maintained properly. You maintain that love by growing in His love, allowing Christ to grow and change you. If not, love can be turned to bitterness. Love can be turned to anger. Love can be turned to hatred. Love can be turned to resentment. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There are husbands that are bitter at their wives and wives that are bitter at their husbands. Love can turn into that if it's not properly maintained, or you neglect to and you fail to understand another person's love. See, if you're not careful. If you're not growing in Christ's love, you can greatly devalue the love that that other person has for you. You can act like it's nothing. You can end up trampling on that love. Christ says, continue in My love, guys. He says, I love you. I love you guys, but I want you to remain in it. Continue to receive it. Continue to allow My love to work in and through you. Married couples, you were probably in love once, right? Or you wouldn't have got married. But you know what? You got to be determined to maintain that love on a daily, ongoing basis. What's the best way to do that? What did we learn? Be rooted and grounded in His love. You got to get serious about growing in your relationship and in your understanding of Christ's love. You got to get serious about understanding His love and abiding in His love. And that's how you maintain that love with each other. Hey guys, He says, you continue in My love. And as the Father, as I abide in the Father's love, I'm able to love you. And as you abide in My love, you're able to go out and you're able to love other people. And I lost my mic. Where did it go? There it is. Got so excited, I lost my mic. You know, I was wondering this morning, how many of you guys in here would like to change your marital status? Don't raise your hand. That's a loaded question, right? That was not fair. The reason why I asked that question, if you'd like to change your marital status, is because I was reading about a lady who got a tax package from her CPA, and she thought, man, for once, she says, I'm going to surprise my husband, Henry, and I'm going to get our tax information in early. So she said, I started scanning through it, and I noticed my husband, Henry, had written on some of the lines. And she said there was a question that said, did your marital status change this year? And she said, he circled yes. She said, as far as I knew, we weren't considering separation or divorce. She said, in fact, we were going to celebrate our 50th anniversary pretty soon, unless he had other plans. So she said, I was looking at that, and I moved my hand, and there were two other words he had handwritten beside that. It said, did your marital status change this past year? He put yes, and then beside it, he put older, better. Older, better. She said, I like that change in status. And you know, that can be true of any believer in this room. You see, any of us in this room, that can be true of. And there's an old illustration, I certainly not original with me, It's an illustration that you've probably seen, and it's been used many times, but it still works. And I want to bring that up if I could. And you've probably seen this where, go ahead and click it. You've got God at the top, you got husband, and you got wife. The husband and the wife, as they grow in their understanding of God's love for them, as they grow in their relationship with God, as they draw near to God, what happens? They get closer to each other. As they draw closer to God, they just automatically draw closer to each other. It's really kind of automatic. As you begin to grow in His love, you abide in His love, you accept His love for you, you begin to really comprehend it, understand it, and get it. As you grow in His love, you draw closer to each other. You can't, and by the way, that diagram will work for any relationship. You could put you on one side, and then on the other side, your friend. You could put you on one side and your child on the other side. You could put you on one side and put a fellow church member on the other side. You could put you on one side and your parents on the other side. This thing will work for any relationship. And what you can't control the other person. I understand that. But did you know that even if the husband draws closer to God or the wife by herself because the husband won't, you still draw closer to that other person. As you move up closer to God, you're still drawing closer. Now, it works better if both are trying to draw close to God, but you can't control the other person. You have to make that decision. In your handout, I want to give you one final statement. Are you growing in His love? Are you in His Word? It says in your handout, do you understand His love for you in a greater way than you did this time last year? Jesus said, continue, abide in My love. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to think about what we've heard today. I want you to think about this message. And I want you to apply it to your heart. Are you growing in the Father's love? Are you growing in Christ's love for you? Are you in His Word? Are you growing? Are you understanding it in a deeper way than you ever have before? If not, why don't you make a decision today to do that? To where God's love begins to pour out of you. You will look at everything differently as you grow in His love. You'll begin to be filled with the fullness of God. God will be running, His love will be running over in your life. Literally, running over in your life. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Dan, I don't know for sure if I die today, I go to heaven. I don't know for sure that I'm in a relationship with God. In just a moment when we stand, if you would like to be saved today and you'd like to know the Lord, you come and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You can know Christ today. We're here to help you with that. You say, Pastor Dan, I don't want to do that now. Well, maybe after the service, you'd like to come by the hospitality room. We have people that would love to take the Bible and show you how you can have a sure relationship with God. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. You really do. You've been playing around too long. You've been messing around too long. You need to get right with God. You know you're saved, but you need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ and begin growing in His love again. You make